from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
You know, we call today Feel Good Friday, so I'm trying to stick to that, you know?
I like it.
Dave Wannstedt.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
With Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Well, look at this. Good afternoon, everybody. It's the Parkins and Spiegel Show on 670 The Score. Cubs win. We'll talk about them a little bit in the 5 o'clock hour. Speak solo. I got a lot of Bears thoughts for you from me coming up in the 5 o'clock hour right at the top. But first, what a treat. Coach Dave Wannstedt is here in studio right now along with three of his grandkids. His daughter and Jan are here hanging out. This is, I feel like I'm at the family gathering, Coach. This is pretty good.
It is. It doesn't get any better than this. I'll tell you, unless I had all six grandkids here, that's the only way it would be better. But no, my one daughter had something going on downtown, so we had the kids. Jan took them to a movie. I watched the Cubs game.
Yeah.
And
here you are.
And here we are.
That's outstanding. Yeah, that's not loud or anything, Shay. That's totally fine. Shane is in here fixing the microphone, getting everything going. It's okay. Coach, I want to ask you about that game last night. Well, I got you. I know we only got you for a few minutes here. So you tell me. I'll give you the open canvas. Your takeaways from that thing last night. Only two and a half quarters or so, and obviously we didn't see the starters, but tell me what of consequence you as a coach can take away from something like that.
Well, we'll talk about the positives. I'll tell you what, ripping at quarterback, I had to do a little research during the game as I was watching it. Now, the guy has been around a little bit, right?
Yes, he has.
He's been coached. He's been with two teams, I think, Denver and somebody else.
Seattle for a little while, maybe. Yeah. Rams for a little while, too. So maybe three teams.
Two or three teams. So he's been coached, and obviously his dad's Super Bowl quarterback, I believe, for the Redskins.
Yes, sir.
He was at the Redskins, or Washington back then, when I was at the Cowboys, so mm-hmm. I remember his dad well.
His uncle, actually.
Is that his uncle?
He's the nephew, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So he, I was impressed. I mean, the guy got the ball out, and I think that, you know, that it all makes sense. He came from Seattle, so he was in Shane Waldron's system,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
So he knew the lingo. He knew the terminology. He knew the route combinations. He knew what would beat certain coverages that they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but he played that way. You know, he could have gone out there and he knows that, hey, I got to play good to try to make this team. But he did. He showed up. And,
you know what he said, Coach? He said, this game meant a lot to me. Like,
yeah.
like you could tell, like sometimes you get a guy in preseason who's like, oh, this is my chance to shine and show the world that I still got it and I can be good if you give me a chance.
Yeah, and you know, the big thing with these preseason games, and I used to always tell it, every coach does, to keep his team motivated, saying, you're playing for 32 teams. You're playing for everybody, you know? Even if it doesn't work out here, if he has a couple more outings, a couple more games like he had last night, he's going to get signed by somebody. I mean, he played well enough last night to be a backup, in my opinion.
It's interesting.
Absolutely.
But Tyson Bagent is a made guy as a backup, huh? He gets the starter treatment. Go out there for a series and sit down. He's a made guy.
Yep. Yeah. They.
he's not in danger of that job.
Last night, though, I think it got people thinking. It got me thinking.
Interesting.
I mean, I'm just – and I love Tyson. Don't get me wrong. I'm a fan. But, you know, give the kid some credit. He played last night. I think at one time he was 6 for 8.
Yeah.
And the two that weren't incompletes were drops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not bad passes. So.
No, he looked good. You know, it made you feel like the system with just a capable quarterback,
yep.
you know, can
be
a thing.
I like the system. I like the system.
Let me ask you about Caleb's day yesterday. Apparently, he did walkthroughs with other players who weren't playing, and then he was introduced to what Eberflus, your friend, called, quote, game day function, end quote, included going through the first 15 scripted plays, hearing about landmarks on the field for decision-making and halftime adjustments, stuff like that. Can that even though Caleb didn't play last night, is there some value for him going through that stuff?
Yeah, you know, you're in the locker room. You're obviously he didn't dress up, but he saw the format. I mean, what's it like when you walk into a locker room in the NFL on game day,
mm-hmm.
where everything? Tony Medlin, best equipment guy in the entire league. Tony has everything precise, and there's an order on how things work. There's an order on who gets taped first, okay? So you don't walk in there as a rookie and just jump on the table ahead of Montez Sweat. That ain't happening, okay? So, I mean, you know, to see that and go through that was good. And then the warm-ups. You know, what are we going to do for warm-ups on the field? You can draw it on the board. You can talk about it, but there's nothing like going through the whole thing, which he did physically, obviously.
Okay. I hope people are watching on Twitch and seeing 50% of Dave Wanstead's grandkids right here. What did you think of the kickoff rule? Seeing the kickoff rule on an NFL field last night?
You know what? You know what's going to happen? We talked about this on the last show. One was the 28-yard line. The other one, I think the longest return was the 32 or 33.
Yeah.
They're going to be kicking the ball out of the back of the end zone. I hate to say that, fans, and I hate to bust their bubble on that, but they need to make the penalty that if the defense is kicking off and you kick it out of the end zone, you need the offense should get the ball at the 35 or the 40. Now you know what will happen? Every ball will be kicked in the field of play where it has to be returned. I mean, what's the advantage, the way I see it, of giving them the ball at the 30? So what? So what? You know, I don't want to take a chance of getting anybody hurt. I don't want to take a chance of them breaking a long return. So we tackle them on the 25.
Yeah.
Those 5 yards are a non-factor. I think they're going to have to change that rule after this year. I hope not, because I was excited. It was the 35 in the USFL,
yeah,
and 80% of the kickoffs were returned.
So 35 is a big enough penalty,
yeah,
to make it a thing.
Yes, absolutely. But last night, I mean, you know, at least the fans got a chance to see how they were lining up a little bit.
Yeah, you got to learn it a little bit.
It's really defense. It's like running a screen pass and, you know, everybody just breaking down tackling them.
Can you tell anything from that last night? Austin Booker had a sack and a forced fumble. Can we learn anything from that? You know, he's playing against backups or backups to the backups. Either.
He does things. I watched. If you go back and watch his college tape at Kansas,
okay.
And I was talking up when I practiced last week, and Ryan Poles, and I made the comment. He was a guy when we were at Miami and early on in Dallas. He was one of those guys we used to put in the category, does things you don't have to coach. And the practice I was at, Spiggs, he went up the field 2 or 3 steps. The minute that the offensive tackle put his hands on him, he did some acrobatic spin inside and was free to the quarterback. You know, and I watched the whole practice. They were not working on that technique. He just kind of reacted that way and did it. So I think I would play the guy this year. I mean, I know he's a little bit light in the britches, but I would put him out there and I would get him some reps. I really like that kid. Now, I will say this. The only, and I thought the whole team, the penalties, no really dumb penalties for the most part. Troy Aikman made the point that there were only 2 accepted penalties the whole halftime. The one thing that didn't happen a lot, mm-hmm. I didn't see a lot, and this was not our first group, but with that second group of defensive linemen, there weren't a lot of guys beating guys one-on-one. You know what I mean? There wasn't a lot of pressure from our defensive line with just rushing 4. This is with the backup group. I was hoping to see a little bit more of that, But it is what it is right now, and they'll get better.
Okay. And then Colin Johnson, the wide receiver, man.
Whoa, give him a scholarship. Huh? I'm offering him right now.
He was on practice squad all year last year. Played in three games, though, towards the end.
Wow.
You know what I love about him? I bet you love it more. He played special teams last night, and apparently Richard Hightower came up to him after he had been a big part of the offense and said, you know, you could take the rest of the night off on special teams. He said no. He said, I'd like to keep playing special teams,
yeah,
thank you.
Coach, he wants to make the team. You look at that receiver depth chart,
yeah,
and I don't, you know, we're going to keep a bunch of tight ends. We're probably going to keep a fullback. We'll probably keep six receivers.
And he's six, I think.
Yeah, and he's six, and he is. So every snap is critical. You know, he reminds me, I couldn't get him up. We had a kid when I was with the Dolphins. We actually signed him from the old World USFL League, whatever it was called, Aronde Gatson.
I know.
Remember him?
Yes.
This guy, he made catches along the sideline that Aronde would make, and Aronde couldn't run like our guy. But I tell you, he could play basketball, and he could jump, and the guy was incredible in the red zone. Mm. Every time this guy made a play on the sideline, I kept thinking to myself, put him in the end zone. It's one-on-one,
yeah,
and you throw the ball in the air. Who are you betting your money on?
It's crazy. This league, man, you got dudes like that who look like athletically and competence-wise, they can hang. And they're fighting for a sixth spot on the team.
He's fighting for a sixth spot with us, and he's also fighting for a roster spot if the Bears end up cutting him for some reason. You know,
yeah.
So he helped himself last night. I mean, Rippon helped himself. He helped himself. I thought that was two really good nights.
All right, Coach. Who are these? Who are these kids right here?
This is
they're good kids.
Oh yeah, they're twins right here. This is Eddie and David Napleton, and their brother Francis.
Francis, yep. And Eddie and David,
and they're baseball players, football players,
yeah,
basketball players.
Nico Horner fans.
He threw it out. The littlest Francis told you he was your best player right there.
Yeah.
Right, Francis? What do you like about him?
Nico's his favorite guy. We're not going to be able to hear
him. Who's your favorite pitcher? David?
Justin Fields is favorite pitcher? I'm questioning the sports knowledge.
You like anybody?
Justin Steele. Oh, yeah.
C-Spinks?
Yeah, he corrected
you
me.
You get him. There you go.
Hey, could you guys call me Coach?
Coach Spinks.
Yeah. Hey, you want to ask where I am, maybe?
Listen to this. This is what I always say.
Say, where's Spigs?
Where's Spigs?
I'm right here. As are you guys. Nice to see you.
Thanks for being here. So they're down here visiting for a little bit. So
right.
They listen to the show.
That's awesome.
As soon as I go home, they wanted to know where Tanny was at.
We took a,
you know what they kill me with? The mango.
Yeah, we took a family photo, and instead of cheese, everybody said mango.
Mango?
Yeah, it was incredible. It was an amazing moment.
Yeah,
I'm proud to be associated with it. All right, boys, nice to see you. Nice to meet you, Coach. You're the best.
Is that it?
Yeah, we're good. You're good, man.
Get ready for the next one and
go live your life.
We got out healthy, right?
Yeah, I think we got.
I heard. I don't know if it's true. Caleb's going to play about 35-40 snaps the next couple games.
That's
the rumor going around. I hope so.
That's a good
rumor.
He
needs to play.
Yeah, right.
He needs to play.
He
absolutely
did some game day stuff for this one, but he needs to play.
Yeah.
I like when you share stuff like that, Coach.
That's the rumor.
All right. Juana, you're the best. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you.
All right, guys.
All right. We'll talk to you unless, you know, you're busy.
I'll be available.
They'll be available.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
He was available today. All right. Speak solo for the next hour. We got incredible stuff from Mully and Haw you got to hear, including an exclusive that didn't even make their show. That's how much good stuff they had. And I got takeaways from that thing last night I want to talk about with you next on Parkinson Spiegel right here on The Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Twitch and YouTube wants to see Whitey.
Come on over here, Whitey, say hello.
What's up, Windy City?
Afternoons on the Score.
Third down and four. End zone, why not? How about some more? Number 80, Colin Johnson, and Liev get ready to say his name into the microphone. And Brett Rippon, what a body of work tonight. 9-yard touchdown. And Colin Johnson is making a statement here tonight.
Yeah, really good, because Johnson, when he releases, he's inside of the defender, and he knows, of course, that he's going to then take it to the back pylon. He's got to be able to work through that. You see he's on the left of the screen, and he's got to work through that over the top. Defender's expecting him to continue on the crossing route. He comes back out in the anticipated throw by Rippon. That's good execution by those two, and it has been throughout this game.
That was a football game of sorts last night. There was football on your television. I know to a lot of you, that in itself is worth celebrating. There's a Bears game on your TV. That's worth celebrating. And in this season of extreme Bears excitement and expectations that feels more necessary than ever because of the bleakness on the rest of the sports landscape locally, I hope you enjoyed it. Good afternoon, everybody. It's Matt Spiegel here with you solo. Just for today on Parkins and Spiegel, Danny will be back on Monday, and we'll have some good times to come. I got something I need to talk with him about that I'm going to talk with you about first in a moment. But let me tell you what's going on this hour, because are we giving away tickets to the Wall? We're not going to have time to do it. But I'll tell you right now, though, that next Tuesday you should come and hang out with me and Danny at the Wall at the Marcus Gurney Cinema, because it's going to be freaking great. We're going to be there from 2 to 6. And then at 8 p.m., you'll enjoy the premiere of Hard Knocks on the Wall's big screen. Admission is always free at the Wall. That place looks amazing. It's got sports bar vibes amidst the comfort of the cinema at the Marcus Gurney Cinema. So we'll be there. And then every Tuesday in August from 7 to 8 p.m., they're going to be doing like a hole-in-one thing at the Wall's Golden Tee, and you'll be registered to win your very own Golden Tee Go portable game. So come hang out with us on Tuesday for that. But later on this hour...
And Speaks, real quick, I'm sorry. Yes. Follow up on something that happened yesterday.
Yes, please, Shane.
Tanny got the green light.
Oh, dude.
It's going to be all four of us building the wall.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
All praise to Ryan Porth, who made it happen.
T-Butes.
Good manager.
Or is it Ferengul? One of the Tylers will be here.
Oh, man. Pick a Tyler. Any Tyler.
They're both awesome.
They throw to Tylers. Yeah. They throw to Tylers at
you. They're going to put Ferengul on top of Tyler Butterbaugh's shoulders and just put him in a trench coat. And it's just both of them. One's going to hit the break button, and the other's going to turn the mic on.
He can't stay away. Shane just can't stay away.
I said Ferengul on top of Butterbaugh's
shoulders. I got it. I heard what you're saying. I mean, it's gonna be tremendous. Not that in the trench coat, although that would be tremendous. But all four of us there, that's right.
Yeah, so thank you to all the listeners who showed up to Ryan Porth's home and demanded that I be allowed to go to the remote.
A little
unnecessary, but I get to go, so thank you.
Is Shotgun Porth right now in the car on his way home from Canton?
Either that or he's parking the Tahoe downstairs right now, one of the two.
He could be parking the Tahoe downstairs. Yeah. I just hope that they were allowed to back in to all the parking spots there in Canton.
Hey, we still haven't paid that ticket to the city of Ferndale, by the way.
Nor should we.
And also, listeners, you are correct. It is weird that Ryan's home is painted Cincinnati Reds red.
Yeah.
It's very odd.
I know. And he's got...
We don't get it either.
And he's got a big statue of Marty Brenneman and Joe Nuxall there, right there in the front yard. But whatever.
The HOA hates it.
Yeah. But I mean, whatever gets it going. But that's awesome that all four of us will be out there. Later in the hour, Mully and Hall have done amazing things in Canton. Some of it aired, and we wanted to bring it back, but some of it is unaired, including an exclusive Among the things we're going to get to later on this hour, an all-time Bears recruiting story explained from the other side. That's really, really good. I'm looking forward to that. And we will close the show as I dare the Cubs fans to dream. I wonder if Cubs fans are daring themselves to dream. But we got to start with this. The QB2 party is aging extremely well. Tyson Bagent is a made guy as a number two quarterback. Here are the two ways that you know he's a number two quarterback, okay? One is that when Caleb Williams announces to the team in this Hard Knock snippet that got released last night and went viral as it circulated last night, when Caleb Williams announces to the team that he got a $25 million signing bonus, the visual, which you can't hear in this, but we'll still play it for you, is Tyson Bagent pretending to seize up and have some kind of visceral physical reaction because he's making $900,000.
Went to USC in Oklahoma, Mars down still, fight on.
Yeah.
And my signing bonus is 25.5.
Such a great reaction by Tyson Bagent, who was undrafted out of college. Yeah. When Caleb said how much he got as a bonus.
Yeah, he could, right? He was having a seizure thinking about it. You know, he's hoping that one day he might be able to make that in his career. But times have changed. Thank you, networks, for some of these signing bonuses the players are now getting.
That's awesome. So Buck and Aikman talking about it, giving you the context of what you might not have seen if you haven't seen it. But Bagent hilariously seizing up at the $25 million signing bonus. 25.5, excuse me. The 0.5. That'd be enough. That'd be enough for a lot of us and enough for Tyson Bagent. So, look, he's not that guy. So you know he's not that guy. But he got the faux starter treatment in this game where none of the actual starters played. One series and gone. Davis Mills didn't get that treatment. Davis Mills had to go out there and slog his way through a lot of that first half and looked okay. Looked pretty good as he tries to secure. Davis Mills has played in 25 games. I think he said 25 starts. Look at that. Oh, my God. Shotgun Porth is in the building.
You ask, and he shall appear.
I summoned him.
Bloody Mary. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. It's like Ryan Porth.
Candyman. Ryan Porth. Shotgun Porth. That's the only kind. In the Score collared shirt that he was wearing on set with Mully and Haw and Canton this morning, no doubt. That's incredible. Wow, what a world. So Tyson Bagent, the QB2 party aging extremely well. And here's my question for you guys, but really it's got to be for Danny, because Danny invented the QB1 party, which has aged horribly because Justin Fields is gone and he's a Steeler. I invented the QB2 party. What does a QB3 party look like? Because Brett Rypien, he is locked and loaded as the QB3. How do we celebrate having a QB3? What does that party even look like? I mean, if QB2 party is generic snacks and like Dr. Thunder being poured for everybody, you know, some of those gum drops that are like the Jewel brand, President's Choice brand snacks. And that's the music for the QB2 party, right? Right, now, Tanny, help me with the context. What am I missing?
No, this is the music for the QB3 party.
Oh, that's the music for the QB3 party.
We're just rolling it out right now.
Oh, I got
QB2
it.
QB2 party music was like Bob James and...
Oh, that's right.
And Smooth Modern Jazz.
Smooth Modern Jazz. So you're thinking, but this is too good. This is too good for the QB3.
Right, we'll workshop it. We'll ask Danny on Monday what he thinks the music
should be. That's what threw me. I mean, God. It's some of the... Some of the all-time stuff there. Some of my favorite stuff. It's Astrid Gilberto singing right there. My God. It's too good. It's too good for QB3. So we got to figure that out. So that's one of the takeaways there. Let me ask you, what's the best image to encapsulate this game? Is it the Score sales guy who says to me in the hallway this afternoon, hey, that kid Rypien looked pretty great. The kid Rypien looked great. Is that the image? Because people don't know who it is, of course. Is it Caleb's competition pregame where he and the big three wide receivers had a little competition trying to hit the crossbar from the 20 on the field there in Canton? That's the kind of football quote unquote game it was. Or is it me sitting at my desk at around 3:30 while the Cubs are on, crunching the roster breakdown to see if Colin Johnson has a real chance to make this team? Is that the best image to encapsulate this thing? Because I'm telling you, Colin Johnson looking like a smooth, extremely competent and capable wide receiver out there against backup. So it's always hard to tell if a dude looks legit. Football is a sport where it's hard to tell in general if anybody's any good, frankly, because it's all contingent on whether the offensive line did their job. It's contingent on whether the defensive line was actually trying. It's contingent on the play call and what the cornerbacks did. And then it's contingent, of course, on the quarterback making a throw. So it's hard to tell if Colin Johnson is any good. But he's a fifth-round pick who then got hurt and missed all of 2022, missed a season due to injury, as the full practice squad year last year, plays in three games at the end of the season, and is out there busting his hump on special teams all night long, made a tackle on the first ever kickoff in the NFL with the new rules. So, I mean, he's a good story and good for him for the showing last night, but there's the way that I'm looking at it, and I think Adam Johns agrees and wrote about it on The Athletic, is that there's one or two spots for Tyler Scott, Dante Pettis, DeAndre Carter, and Colin Johnson. And that's if you assume that Velus Jones Jr. is going to make this team. So maybe there's one or two spots for all five of those guys. This is peak 2024 Bears roster drama right there. Yeah, you know, I mean, this is where you are. This is the state of your team, is that Colin Johnson, Tyler Scott, Dante Pettis, DeAndre Carter, and Velus Jones are like the five dudes possibly chasing for two spots, or maybe even just one spot, you know? And that's the state of the roster, that some other team around the NFL is going to be like, you know, this Colin Johnson, he can't make the Bears, but he could play for us. That's kind of fun in and of itself right there. So that's interesting to me. And then, you know, we're trying to figure out who else is even on this team. I Matt Spiegel, fell in love with Demetric Felton one Saturday afternoon as I watched a UCLA game because Bonetti was doing it. I was literally watching that game out of, you know, nothing else is on. You know, my friend Bonetti is doing this college football game, and I watched, and Demetric Felton, it was an Arizona game when he was at UCLA. He had like 30 carries for 200 yards, was an absolute warhorse in that game. Played a little bit for Cleveland last year in the absence of Nick Chubb, and now he's a signee. And now I'm wondering, is he going to make this team over Khalil Herbert? Is he going to make this team over Travis Homer because they don't need Travis Homer for special teams? I mean, it's a little more roster crunching that I find myself doing for this Bears team. But, man, I got a soft spot for a dude I watched get 30 carries for 200 yards on a Saturday afternoon a couple years ago, and I find myself hoping that Demetric Felton makes this team. Yeah, that's what happened. By the way, I watched it all on DVR because I was at that Cubs game last night, and that comeback, oh, dude, that was some fun. Shout out to Women's Health is all I'm saying. Mike Tauchman on the case. And then they win again today. They're trying. They're trying to get me back in. But that's why the Lord invented hit and run here in August. So I'll do plenty of it on Sunday morning with you. Hoping to talk to Mike Tauchman, as a matter of fact, on a Sunday morning. And check in with him about this Cubs offense, which is clicking. And, you know, there is a lot more football to get to. And we're going to get to it. Mully and Aubin killing it in Canton. And as I mentioned, something that just was too good to wait all weekend. It was too good to wait all weekend. It did not make their show this morning because it happened after their show ended, but we're going to bring it to you in a matter of moments as part of looking back on a couple of incredible days that they have had in Canton. This segment on The Score is being sponsored by Jewel Osco. It's Spieg Solo with you on Parkins and Spiegel. Mully and Hogg goodness in audio form coming at you next on 670 The Score.
Shout out Women's Healthcare.
Parkins and Spiegel show flashback.
We have a product that was pretty good. From there, he looked at us. And again, I don't think what we did at the end, me going up there, coming back with him and all that, I think it might have helped a little bit for him to finally see the face. First time I'd really met him was then. But again, I think the guys on our football team, the Tommy Harris's and the guys like that, him wanting to be a part of that is really what sold him. The Chicago Bears, that's really what sold him.
That is Lovie Smith talking about recruiting Julius Peppers in free agency. Matt Spiegel here with you on Parkins and Spiegel. 670 The Score, of course. And in all my time doing this job, there are a few days that stand out as days when Bears fans go to the closet and grab the Bears hat when they're going to walk the dog, you know? And one of them is the Jay Cutler trade acquisition day. One of them is the Khalil Mack trade day. Yes, Justin Fields drafted day. Certainly Caleb Williams drafted day. But free agent news of Julius Peppers coming. And then that introductory press conference, which was Peppers and Chester Taylor and Brandon Manu Maliuna all there together. I mean, those are legendary days. And I always picture Lovie Smith at midnight when free agency opens, holding a boombox on top of his head, playing Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes like John Cusack and Say Anything, you know? Like that's the image I've always had. And we've heard that story from Lovie's perspective, but Mully and Haw this morning, after their show finished, had a chance to sit down with Julius Peppers. And this has not aired yet, and you'll hear it first right now. And you got Julius Peppers' side of that midnight recruitment from Lovie Smith.
Mm-hmm. What did your time in Chicago mean to you in terms of your career?
So, I appreciate all three stops. Let me say that first. Chicago was a special place. The city, the people, the team. And they changed my life. They changed my life in more ways than one. So it was a special place. I enjoyed my time there. Lovie, Rob Marinelli, all the teammates. It was a brotherhood. Like, that was a real brotherhood in the locker room and in the community. So I love the Bears forever. And I'm not necessarily going in as a Bear. I'm not going in as any team, I don't think. You just go in as a player. So I appreciate all three teams, but I love Chicago, man.
You know, I always wondered, did playing with the Bears help your kind of public perception throughout the league? Because Everyone knew you were amazing at Carolina, but when you got to Chicago, you were more of a national entity than you had been.
So, like I said, the Chicago changed my life in more ways than one, and that was one of them. And That's what I was looking for when I was leaving Carolina. So coming up there did boost my notoriety, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the city and the time that I had there.
So we talked to Rod Marinelli. He told us the story that everyone knows well about the night of free agency.
Yeah.
Him and Lovie and Cliff Stein show up at your door. Was it midnight? Tell us what you remember about that experience.
So yeah, it was. It was right on the. It was right on the dot. Midnight. My guy Carl is right here. He was with me, and actually, it was at the airport. So they had called me and was like, he was like Lovie and the Bears. They at the airport. So we went out there. It was right at 12. We flew up the next morning. Went to Hallis Hall and everything. We did the tour and all of that. And it was a quick process. It was boom. It was less than. I think free agency started at 12 o'clock. I think I was signed by 12 the next day, so 12 hours.
Yeah. See, I always figured that was a done deal when they showed up, but I'm glad we're all covering it up. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, well, it kind of was. Yeah. It kind of was, but, you know, we had to go through the formalities of it, but, yeah.
So you guys came so close. You're on a defense that has now a couple of Hall of Famers on it. Urlacher, you.
Yeah.
Lance Briggs has a case to make. What about that defense made it special in your mind and playing for Lovie? What do you remember about those?
Like I said, it was a brotherhood in the locker room. I have never been a part of a locker room like that. When I came in, Urlacher was bigger than life, right? And he was just a normal guy in the locker room, you know, playing the games with all of the younger guys, just including everybody you felt included. And another guy that I think has a chance to get his, Charles Tillman, you know. And that was, you know, great defense, probably the best defense that I ever played on, just because of everybody holding each other accountable and just everybody trusting each other and wanting to work hard for each other.
When you look at this honor, you know, they say it's humbling. They say it changes you a little bit because you're now in the club where no one gets caught. You've now made the ultimate team.
Well, yeah, and it is humbling. It's an honor. Never thought that I would be here, to be honest with you, if I'm being honest. I never thought about something like this. So I'm just happy to be here with one of my, I'm happy to be going in with one of my former teammates, Devin, over there, great Devin Hester, as you guys know him. So, yeah, it's just a great weekend.
Julius, congratulations. Thank you for joining.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
y'all. You could have gone into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Well, I wouldn't have been here. Well,
you know which one
this is where I belong at, right here.
You had some skills, though. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Julius.
Appreciate y'all.
That's awesome. Yeah, Julius Peppers, who played varsity basketball at North Carolina the same time that he was playing varsity football at North Carolina. See, Julius last night when he got introduced before the game, the goatee is gray, but that dude looks like he's in unbelievable football shape and can still play. And he said as much that it wasn't that he couldn't still compete and play when he retired. It was that he just didn't feel like doing the work, kind of like Calvin Johnson. You know, some guys like just still are just unbelievable athletes. Great stuff from Peppers. I didn't hear this. I did not hear Devin Hester with Mully and Haw this morning. I want to hear a little bit of that and share it with you. And then we've got some brushes with greatness that we got to share with you as well. But here's 23 with M&H.
We talked to you when you didn't get in. You were a little upset because perhaps you wanted to be the first time guy. But now you're go. We talked to Dave Tobe. Everyone's coming. You must be delighted. It must be a thrill.
Yeah, it's a pleasure and it's an honor. You know, as a Hall of Famer, you know, it's whenever you get in, either it's your first year or your last year or 20 years from now. You know what I mean? When I talk to a lot of guys that waited 15, 20 years, it's always like the first. You know what I mean? So I'm so just right now so honored. You know, it's only 378 players in the entire world that played football that was able to say that they're a Hall of Famer. So I'm just honored right now to be one of those guys.
Your mom is presenting you, is that correct? And,
yes.
And what do you expect her to say? Have you checked out the speech beforehand?
I don't know what she's going to say. She haven't told me. You know, that's something that I don't want to hear till it's time for it to happen. But I chose my mom because I know at the end of the day, she probably was the biggest part of my career.
You know, we talked about today about just your evolution of your career. When you came to Chicago, you had the flair, but I don't know if you had the confidence, and you almost had to gain that on the field. How far can you reflect on how far you have come since that rookie season, 2006, when you show up in Chicago ready to prove yourself?
Yeah, it was a whirlwind for me. You know, just more so of the first 2 years, people didn't believe I could do what I do. And the following 4 or 5 years from now, people respected me. So whenever I was out on the field, they feared me. So it limited the returns that I had. So that played a big toll in my career, I would say. You know, just with the new rule nowadays, I probably would have had over 40 returns. But it is what it is.
What do you think of the new kickoff? Huh? I mean, it's almost like a run play from what we're looking at.
Right. I feel like the new rule is really going to force the return game, bring it back to life. And so it's a way to bring back special team. It's a way to bring back the returners that kind of got shadowed and overlooked because of the new rule. Of course, y'all know the rule was put in because of me. So
that's right.
Now it allows return to get their hands on the ball. So I'm hoping that we can bring back this return game, which was a big exciting part of the game.
It's an impossible question to answer, kind of like asking your favorite child. But which is your favorite return?
I would say my favorite return would probably have to be.
Say it.
I have two, really, I can say it. Probably the Arizona Cardinals and then, of course, the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we actually played both those today. So, listen, we'll let you go. I'm surprised you don't have, like, Soulja Boy playing behind you. Are you going to do that when you're inducted?
Nah.
A lot of old teammates coming this weekend?
So probably about 30, 40 of them.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Appreciate you guys.
Love you, man. God all bless.
All right, you guys. Take it easy, man.
I knew it was going to be the Arizona game. Had to be the Arizona game. An 83-yard punt return when the Bears are down 23-17. Help them take a lead 24-23. Had to be that. I love that Devin Hester thinks they created the new rule for him. I don't even... Anybody follow that logic? Shane or Tanny, you follow the logic? Because they created the new rule so they could get the kickoff back in the game as a play of consequence while making it seem like they still care about brain injuries so they don't get sued again. I mean, that's why they created this rule. How is that for Devin? Is it because we miss the excitement?
No, yes, because it's excitement, man. That's not that stuff you were talking about. We just want more excitement. You heard Joe Buck's voice last night?
Fairbairn knocks it through. We go quick to break. You know why? Because on the other side, it's a kickoff. We're going to watch another kickoff.
So there you have it, you know?
That's like six levels of ironic fake enthusiasm from our guy Joe Buck right there. That is, oh, can I hear it again, please? That's delightful. My goodness. Oh, because it's like,
you just want me to do my Buck impression, Tim?
Yeah, that works.
Do that if you want.
Go ahead, Shane.
Folks, for the folks at home, sometimes it goes away if I play it from a certain place.
I got you. So, we don't have to.
Everyone hates me.
Hey, we got a kickoff.
Fairbairn knocks it through. We go quick to break. You know why? Because on the other side, it's a kickoff. We're going to watch another kickoff.
I'm excited about a kickoff. You're supposed to be excited about a kickoff. Aren't we excited? Not really, but I should make it sound like I'm excited, and you should also be excited. But I know we're not really. But that's what I'm talking about, the levels of irony that are going on there. Oh, God. There's self-awareness. Oh, boy. That's something. Yeah, I don't. Well, we'll have time to talk about the kickoff. I'll have a lot of time to talk about it. What I do want to hear about is the brushes with greatness. Because Shotgun Porth just came in and he was talking about just how exciting it was to be there and just like, look, that guy's over there and this guy's over there and this guy's over there and look at that guy. Yeah.
If it seemed like it was fun to listen to, because I consumed almost all of it the past few days, if that seemed fun to listen to, they were really having that much fun, if not more, out there, which is like what we like to see.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. That's why we all got into the business. And when you get a chance to do it, I can tell you the draft was awesome to be near and a part of. But a Hall of Fame weekend when everybody walking around is like, you know, looking at each other and thinking that they're all Hall of Famers. You must be a Hall of Famer. You're here. Who'd you play for? So, yeah, let me hear some of the brushes with greatness.
Here's the deal. We're at this Doubletree
in downtown Canton.
Downtown Canton, yeah. Which is where all the Hall of Famers are. And so we are ready during the break to take a moment and hit the bathroom. And you go, and then I go, and as I'm walking back, I see that they got all the yellow jackets there.
Everybody's getting fitted for the yellow jacket. Every Hall of Famer.
Because they're going to be on the stage.
And this is the Hall of Fame Hotel.
Saturday, and this is the Hall of Fame Hotel. So I see Richard Dent, mm-hmm. who I know Richard Dent.
Yes.
I covered Richard Dent, but I also covered Jordan, and they were running together in those days, and I used to get to know Dent. So I've gotten to know him a little bit, so I see him, and I do one of these. I was like, hey, Richard. And he...
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Parkins and Spiegel Show Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
We have a product that was pretty good. From there, he looked at us. And again, I don't think what we did at the end, me going up there, coming back with him and all that, I think it might have helped a little bit for him to finally see the face. First time I had really met him was then. But again, I think the guys on our football team, the Tommy Harris's and the guys like that, him wanting to be a part of that is really what sold him. The Chicago Bears, that's really what sold him.
That is Lovie Smith talking about recruiting Julius Peppers in free agency. Matt Spiegel here with you on Parkins and Spiegel. 670 The Score, of course. And in all my time doing this job, there are a few days that stand out as days when Bears fans go to the closet and grab the Bears hat when they're going to walk the dog, you know? And one of them is the Jay Cutler trade acquisition day. One of them is the Khalil Mack trade day. Yes, Justin Fields drafted day. Certainly Caleb Williams drafted day. But free agent news of Julius Peppers coming. And then that introductory press conference, which was Peppers and Chester Taylor and Brandon Maliuna all there together. I mean, those are legendary days. And I always picture Lovie Smith at midnight when free agency opens, holding a boombox on top of his head, playing Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes like John Cusack and Say Anything, you know? Like, that's the image I've always had. And we've heard that story from Lovie's perspective, but Mully and Haw this morning, after their show finished, had a chance to sit down with Julius Peppers. And this has not aired yet, and you'll hear it first right now. And you got Julius Peppers' side of that midnight recruitment from Lovie Smith.
Mm-hmm. What did your time in Chicago mean to you in terms of your career?
So, I appreciate all three stops. Let me say that first. Chicago was a special place. The city, the people, the team. And they changed my life. They changed my life in more ways than one. So it was a special place. I enjoyed my time there. Lovie, Rob Marinelli, all the teammates. It was a brotherhood. Like, that was a real brotherhood in the locker room and in the community. So I love the Bears forever. And I'm not necessarily going in as a Bear. I'm not going in as any team, I don't think. You just go in as a player. So I appreciate all three teams, but I love Chicago, man.
You know, I always wondered, did playing with the Bears help your kind of public perception throughout the league? Because everyone knew you were amazing at Carolina, but when you got to Chicago, you were more of a national entity than you had been.
So, like I said, the Chicago changed my life in more ways than one, and that was one of them. And that's what I was looking for when I was leaving Carolina. So coming up there did boost my notoriety, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the city and the time that I had there.
So we talked to Rod Marinelli. He told us the story that everyone knows well about the night of free agency.
Yeah.
Him and Lovie and Cliff Stein show up at your door. Was it midnight? Tell us what you remember about that experience.
So yeah, it was. It was right on the. It was right at on the dot midnight. My guy Carl is right here. He was with me, and actually, it was at the airport. So they had called me and was like, he was like, Lovie and the Bears, they at the airport. So we went out there. It was right at 12. We flew up the next morning, went to Hallis Hall and everything. We did the tour and all of that. And it was a quick process. It was boom. It was less than, I think free agency started at 12 o'clock. I think I was signed by 12 the next day, so 12 hours.
Yeah.
See, I always figured that was a done deal when they showed up, but I'm glad we're all covering it up. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, well, it kind of was. Yeah. It kind of was, but, you know, we had to go through the formalities of it, but yeah.
So you guys came so close. You're on a defense that has now a couple Hall of Famers on it. Urlacher, you.
Yeah.
Lance Briggs has a case to make. What about that defense made it special in your mind? And playing for Lovie, what do you remember about those?
Like I said, it was a brotherhood in the locker room. I have never been a part of a locker room like that. When I came in, Urlacher was bigger than life, right? And he was just a normal guy in the locker room, you know, playing the games with all of the younger guys, just including everybody. You felt included. And another guy that I think has a chance to get here is Charles Tillman, you know. And that was, you know, great defense, probably the best defense that I ever played on, just because of everybody holding each other accountable and just everybody trusting each other and wanting to work hard for each other.
When you look at this honor, you know, they say it's humbling. They say it changes you a little bit
Yeah.
because you're now in the club where no one gets caught. You've now made the ultimate team.
Well, yeah, and it is humbling. It's an honor. Never thought that I would be here, to be honest with you, if I'm being honest. I never thought about something like this. So I'm just happy to be here with one of my I'm happy to be going in with one of my former teammates, Devin, over there, great Devin Hester, as you guys know him. So yeah, it's just a great weekend.
Julius, congratulations. Thank you for joining.
Thank you so much. I appreciate y'all.
You could have gone into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Well, I wouldn't have been here. Well,
you know which one you
yeah,
are?
Nah, this is where I belong at, right here.
You had some skills, though. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, best. Julius.
Appreciate y'all.
That's awesome. Yeah, Julius Peppers, who played varsity basketball at North Carolina the same time that he was playing varsity football at North Carolina. See, Julius last night when he got introduced before the game, the goatee is gray, but that dude looks like he's in unbelievable football shape and can still play. And he said as much that it wasn't that he couldn't still compete and play when he retired. It was that he just didn't feel like doing the work, kind of like Calvin Johnson. You know, some guys like just still are just unbelievable athletes. Great stuff from Peppers. I didn't hear this. I did not hear Devin Hester with Mully and Haw this morning. I want to hear a little bit of that and share it with you. And then we've got some brushes with greatness that we got to share with you as well. But here's 23 with M&H.
We talked to you when you didn't get in. You were a little upset because perhaps you wanted to be the first time guy. But now you're go. We talked to Dave Tobe. Everyone's coming. You must be delighted. It must be a thrill.
Yeah, it's a pleasure and it's an honor. You know, as a Hall of Famer, you know, it's whenever you get in, either it's your first year or your last year or 20 years from now. You know what I mean? When I talk to a lot of guys that waited 15, 20 years, it's always like the first. You know what I mean? So I'm so just right now so honored. You know, it's only 378 players in the entire world that played football that was able to say that they're a Hall of Famer. So I'm just honored right now to be one of those guys.
Your mom is presenting you, is that correct? And,
yes.
And what do you expect her to say? Have you checked out the speech beforehand?
I don't know what she's going to say. She haven't told me. You know, that's something that I don't want to hear until it's time for it to happen. But I chose my mom because I know at the end of the day, she probably was the biggest part of my career.
You know, we talked about today about just your evolution of your career. When you came to Chicago, you had the flair, but I don't know if you had the confidence, and you almost had to gain that on the field. How far can you reflect on how far you have come since that rookie season, 2006, when you show up in Chicago ready to prove yourself?
Yeah, it was a whirlwind for me, you know. Just more so of the first 2 years, people didn't believe I could do what I do. And the following 4 or 5 years from now, people respected me. So whenever I was out there on the field, they feared me. So it limited the returns that I had. So that played a big toll in my career, I would say. You know, just with the new rule nowadays, I probably would have had over 40 returns. But it is what it is.
What do you think of the new kickoff? I mean, it's almost like a run play from what we're looking at.
Right. I feel like the new rule is really going to force the return game, bring it back to life. And so it's a way to bring back special team. It's a way to bring back the returners that kind of got shadowed and overlooked because of the new rule. Of course, y'all know the rule was put in because of me. So
that's right.
Now it allows returner to get their hands on the ball. So I'm hoping that we can bring back this return game, which was a big exciting part of the game.
It's an impossible question to answer, kind of like asking your favorite child. But which is your favorite return?
I would say my favorite return would probably have to be.
Say it.
I have two, really, I can say it. Probably the Arizona Cardinals and then, of course, the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we actually played both those today. So, listen, we'll let you go. I'm surprised you don't have, like, Soldier Boy playing behind you. Are you going to do that when you're inducted?
Nah. Nah.
A lot of old teammates coming this weekend?
Yeah, so probably about 30, 40 of them.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Appreciate you guys.
Love you, man. God bless.
All right, you guys. Take it easy, man.
I knew it was going to be the Arizona game. Had to be the Arizona game. An 83-yard punt return when the Bears are down 23-17. Help them take a lead 24-23. Had to be that. I love that Devin Hester thinks they created the new rule for him. I don't even... Anybody follow that logic? Shane or Tanny, you follow the logic? Because they created the new rule so they could get the kickoff back in the game as a play of consequence while making it seem like they still care about brain injuries so they don't get sued again. I mean, that's why they created this rule. How is that for Devin? Is it because we miss the excitement?
No, yes, because it's excitement, man. That's not that stuff you were talking about. I just want more excitement. You heard Joe Buck's voice last night?
Fairbairn knocks it through. We go quick to break. You know why? Because on the other side, it's a kickoff. We're going to watch another kickoff.
So there you have it, you know?
That's like six levels of ironic fake enthusiasm from our guy Joe Buck right there. That is, oh, can I hear it again, please? That's delightful. My goodness. Oh, because it's like.
You just want me to do my Buck impression, Tanny?
Yeah, that works.
Do that if you want.
Go ahead, Shane.
Folks, for the folks at home, sometimes it goes away if I play it from a certain place.
I got you. So, you know, we don't have to.
Everyone hates me.
Like, hey, we got a kickoff.
Fairbairn knocks it through. We go quick to break. You know why? Because on the other side, it's a kickoff. We're going to watch another kickoff.
I'm excited about a kickoff. You're supposed to be excited about a kickoff. Aren't we excited? Not really, but I should make it sound like I'm excited, and you should also be excited. But I know we're not really. But that's what I'm talking about, the levels of irony that are going on there. Oh, God. There's self-awareness. Oh, boy. That's something. Yeah, I don't. Well, we'll have time to talk about the kickoff. I'll have a lot of time to talk about it. What I do want to hear about is the brushes with greatness. Because Shotgun Porth just came in and he was talking about just how exciting it was to be there and just like, look, that guy's over there, and this guy's over there, and this guy's over there, and look at that guy. Yeah.
If it seemed like it was fun to listen to, because I consumed almost all of it the past few days, if that seemed fun to listen to, they were really having that much fun, if not more, out there, which is like what we like to see.
Yeah,
our guys.
Man, yeah. That's what it's supposed to be. That's why we all got into the business. And when you get a chance to do it, I can tell you the draft was awesome to be near and a part of. But a Hall of Fame weekend when everybody walking around is like, you know, looking at each other and thinking that they're all Hall of Famers. You must be a Hall of Famer. You're here. Who'd you play for? So, yeah, let me hear some of the brushes with greatness.
Here's the deal. We're at this Doubletree
in downtown Canton.
Downtown Canton, yeah. Which is where all the Hall of Famers are. And so we are ready during the break to take a moment and hit the bathroom. And you go, and then I go, and as I'm walking back, I see that they got all the yellow jackets there.
Everybody's getting fitted for the yellow jacket. Every Hall of Famer.
Because they're going to be on the stage.
And this is the Hall of Fame Hotel.
Saturday, and this is the Hall of Fame Hotel. So I see Richard Dent, mm-hmm. who I know Richard Dent.
Yes.
I covered Richard Dent, but I also covered Jordan, and they were running together in those days. And I used to get to know Dent, so I've gotten to know him a little bit. So I see him, and I do one of these. I was like, hey, Richard. And he sees me, and he comes over, and he gives me a hug and asks me, how's my health? I think he thought I was somebody that he didn't, I don't know.
He thought you were an offensive guard for the
it was hysterical.
That he had maybe
run
past.
But I said to him, hey, we're doing a show. Come over here. Come over here. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, hey, hang on. I'll be right back. I want to go to the bathroom.
So you go to the bathroom.
I go to the bathroom.
I'm already there.
You're in the bathroom.
So hold on.
The door is opened by Marcus Allen.
He opened the door because he was in the bathroom, too. So when I walk into the bathroom, I guess this is really behind the curtain, so to speak, there's a shirtless Marcus Allen in the bathroom.
How about that?
Changing, obviously. So I'm like, you're walking in the bathroom and you're shocked to see Marcus Allen there, but you're even more shocked to see a shirtless Marcus Allen going, changing his clothes.
Did he just hit a walk-off?
I just don't know. No, he was celebrating getting the new jacket, maybe. He definitely was going all Mike Tauchman here. And then we talked him into coming over and talked him into joining Richard Dent. And then the rest was what you heard. And it was a lot of fun on the radio. And we're going to be improvising the rest of the show. We're improvising right now.
Yes, we are.
That's awesome. Shirtless Marcus Allen and the connection to a Cubs walk-off with a shirtless Mike Tauchman.
And then Dwight Freeney walked up to the stage there
after that. It's so great. It's just so cool. Those guys deserve it. Those are football guys to their core. And for them to get to do that, you could hear their excitement for a couple of days. Did it seem like everybody thought Mully was a former player? Did it seem like that to you?
Richard Dent, how's your health?
How's your health?
I don't know, Zach Machine.
Oh, my God. How's your health? Because Mully is a big dude, and everybody there who's a little older and used to be a football player, they might as well be Mully. I mean, Randy Gradishar walking across the field last night, I'm like, yeah, is that Mully? I mean, I don't know. All these guys, they absolutely could be former players. Just like Richard Dent thinking Mully's just like, oh, yeah, I know that guy looks familiar. I think he was a lineman. I think he was an old lineman on our team. He's lost weight, of course. He's taking care of himself. How's your health, man? I haven't had any knee surgeries at all. Wow, that's amazing that you survived that. That's incredible. Yeah, I got no brain trauma. I got no brain trauma. What's good for you, man.
Well, I think he does have a little of that because he works with Dustin. So I can't rule that out.
So just working with Dustin gives you, was it? I wanted to say CBT, but that's competitive balance tax.
Baseball always on the mind.
It's just, it will not derail our baseball conversation. What is it? It's PBP.
HIV. PBP.
It's PBP. Gives you play-by-play. I forgot. That's why they changed the kickoff rule. Because they don't want guys to get PBP or PCP or PHP. They don't want you to get any of that stuff. Anyway.
DMT.
Yeah, they don't.
You can have that.
No, you can have that.
You can have that one.
They're giving it away. It's in bowls in the locker rooms in the NFL. I believe it is. Oh, it's CTE. That's what it is. Okay, thanks. Woo! Got to close that circle. It's Speaks with you up until the top of the hour. Big Ann Heron will be talking Bears and Cubs and more until 9 o'clock after we are out of here. We'll put a bow on this and wondering if you're letting yourself dream next on The Score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Every Friday, it's Pizza Friday.
All right, I'm all in on Pizza Friday.
Pizza Friday, it's kind of the end of the week. Weekend's getting ready to start.
Afternoons on The Score.
Johnson extends his lead off the second base bag. He represents the winning run. 2-2 the count. Talkman waits. Helsley deals. Line drive. This is a base hit down the left field line. Cubs are going to walk it off. Swanson scores. Cubs win. They come from behind against the Cardinals all-star closer and beat St. Louis 5-4 in the opener of this four-game set.
Crazy walk-off win last night. 5 runs in the second inning today, and it holds up even though the Cubs bullpen walks everybody in the eighth inning. This offense is different with Isak Paredes and a rolling Cody Bellinger inserted in. Ian Happ back at leadoff, which was the plan from the get-go. Nico Hoerner at 6. Is helping the bottom of the order matter. This is a very different looking thing. And I'm glad it got some shine in the post game from Craig Counsell. The 12 pitch at bat from Paredes after he was down 0-2 in the count against Eric Fetty. Yeah, that Eric Fetty in the second inning was the first at bat of that inning. And it is not a coincidence that that's the inning where they end up scoring the 5 runs. 41 pitches is how many pitches Eric Fetty had to throw that inning. And Paredes battling 8 foul balls, even though he struck out. I mean, that dude, and he struck out a few more times than I would have expected already in his like 4 or 5 games, but he's just such a complete hitter and a completely different kind of presence than the one-dimensional Chris Morel. And you know how I feel. I've talked about it the last couple of days. I really think that adding a hitter of consequence, whoever it might have been, whether it was Paredes a month ago, and I know he wasn't necessarily available, but Jed said that it'd been in the works for a month. So, man, I wish he'd moved earlier. I wish he had moved earlier because you can see how different the lineup is. But especially, as I'm saying also, with Bellinger being like this. Bellinger started out, what, 7 for his first 13? When he came back and you see there's power and there's the bat control, you're getting the full package of what Bellinger can bring. So the Cubs right now are 5.5 back in the wild card. And in terms of the division, as we sit here right now, they're only 5.5 back in the division. 5.5 back in the division. Like, I'm not saying it's plausible, but it's certainly possible. And yeah, I got broken. I got broken in full after those first 2 games against the D-backs to start the second half. And I've been a shell of my normal optimistic and relentlessly baseball logic self. I got broken. I, I mean, they've got a lot. They got a lot more to do to get me back in. But maybe they're getting some of you back in. Are you allowing yourself to dream? We'll certainly talk about it on Hit and Run on Sunday morning. I'll be here with you from 9 to noon on Sunday morning, and we'll see what happens tomorrow and where things stand by then. But my goodness, it is plain to see how different the offense is with Paredes instead of Morrell and with a rolling Bellinger. Pleasure to be here with you solo. Danny Parkins back on Monday. And Parker the Spiegel will resume in full. Thank you to Dave Wanstead, who was in studio along with his grandkids. That was an absolute treat. Thank you to Chris Tannehill for making us sound better than we are each and every single day. Thank you to Shane Reardon for his excellent job producing. And Shane, the Twitch mob got a look at your calves, and they're impressed with the physical work that you have done, sir.
The Twitch mob liked my calves?
They did. They were talking all about it. All about
love
it.
That, mob.
Said that you've lost some weight, you're looking good. And
put
I think
like 8 pounds on.
Part though. Of that is, I think, based on the thirst trap picture that you put up on Instagram.
Yeah, not
last
a thirst
week.
Trap.
Yeah,
thirst
it was.
Thirst trap is for people who are trying to trap someone.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah,
so.
You're trying to trap the public. That's okay.
I don't need to. I've got them in the palm of my hand.
This is a thing where your denial just doesn't change anything.
Fine.
Hey, guys, can we go or what?
Oh, sure, Tanny. Some of us like to do radio together, but whatever. Maybe, like was said yesterday, maybe we've worked together long enough. Anthony Herron.
For today in the week,
for
anyway.
Today in the week, anyway, yes. Anthony Herron is up next with a Rock'em Sock'em show, including Tony Andracki from Marquee and Howard Balzer. I love that Howard Balzer's coming on. Alex Kuhn will produce that fine program next. I'll talk to you Sunday morning. Me and Danny will talk to you on Monday. Thanks for listening to 670 The Score.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weekend.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Every Friday is Pizza Friday.
All right, I'm all in on Pizza Friday.
Pizza Friday, it's kind of the end of the week. Weekend's getting ready to start.
Afternoons on The Score.
Swanson extends his lead off the second base bag. He represents the winning run. 2-2 the count. Talkman waits. Helsley deals. Line drive. This is a base hit down the left field line. Cubs are going to walk it off. Swanson scores. Cubs win. They come from behind against the Cardinals all-star closer and beat St. Louis 5-4 in the opener of this four-game set.
Crazy walk-off win last night. 5 runs in the second inning today, and it holds up even though the Cubs bullpen walks everybody in the eighth inning. This offense is different with Isak Paredes and a rolling Cody Bellinger inserted in. Ian Happ back at leadoff, which was the plan from the get-go. Nico Hoerner at 6 is helping the bottom of the order matter. This is a very different looking thing. And I'm glad it got some shine in the postgame from Craig Counsell. The 12-pitch at-bat from Paredes after he was down 0-2 in the count against Eric Fetty, in the second inning, was the first at-bat of that inning, and it is not a coincidence that that's the inning where they end up scoring the 5 runs. 41 pitches is how many pitches Eric Fetty had to throw that inning, and Paredes battling 8 foul balls, even though he struck out. I mean, that dude, and he struck out a few more times than I would have expected already in his like 4 or 5 games, but he's just such a complete hitter and a completely different kind of presence than the one-dimensional Chris Morrell. And you know how I feel. I've talked about it the last couple of days. I really think that adding a hitter of consequence, whoever it might have been, whether it was Paredes a month ago, and I know he wasn't necessarily available, but Jed said that it had been in the works for a month. So, man, I wish he'd moved earlier. I wish he had moved earlier because you can see how different the lineup is. But especially, as I'm saying also, with Bellinger being like this. Bellinger started out, what, 7 for his first 13? When he came back, and you see there's power and there's the bat control, you're getting the full package of what Bellinger can bring. So the Cubs right now are 5.5 back in the wild card. And in terms of the division, as we sit here right now, they're only 5.5 back in the division. 5.5 back in the division. Like, I'm not saying it's plausible, but it's certainly possible. And yeah, I got broken. I got broken in full after those first two games against the D-backs to start the second half. And I've been a shell of my normal optimistic and relentlessly baseball logic self. I got broken. I mean, they've got a lot more to do to get me back in, but maybe they're getting some of you back in. Are you allowing yourself to dream? We'll certainly talk about it on Hit and Run on Sunday morning. I'll be here with you from 9 to noon on Sunday morning, and we'll see what happens tomorrow and where things stand by then. But my goodness, it is plain to see how different the offense is with Paredes instead of Morel and with a rolling Bellinger. Pleasure to be here with you solo. Danny Parkins back on Monday, and Parkins and Spiegel will resume in full. Thank you to Dave Wanstead, who was in studio along with his grandkids. That was an absolute treat. Thank you to Chris Tannehill for making us sound better than we are each and every single day. Thank you to Shane Reardon for his excellent job producing. And Shane, the Twitch mob got a look at your calves, and they're impressed with the physical work that you have done, sir.
The Twitch mob liked my calves?
They did. They were talking all about it. All about it.
Love that, mob.
Said that you've lost some weight, you're looking good. And I think
like 8 pounds on.
Part of that is, I think, based on the thirst trap picture that you put up on Instagram
last week. Yeah, not
thirst trap.
Thirst trap is for people who are trying to trap someone.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah, so. You're trying to trap the public. That's okay.
I don't need to. I've got them in the palm of my hand.
This is a thing where your denial just doesn't change anything.
Fine.
Hey, guys, can we go or what?
Oh, sure, Tanny. Some of us like to do radio together, but whatever. Maybe, like was said yesterday, maybe we've worked together long enough. Anthony Herron.
For today in the week.
For today in the week, anyway, yes. Anthony Herron is up next with a Rock'em Sock'em show, including Tony Andracki from Marquee and Howard Balzer. I love that Howard Balzer's coming on. Alex Kuhn will produce that fine program next. I'll talk to you Sunday morning. Me and Danny will talk to you on Monday. Thanks for listening to 670 The Score.
Ladies and gentlemen. The weekend.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.